This is a recording of Robert Farr of 1 Castle Road, Rowlands Castle, recorded on the 23rd of January, 2000.
I'm Robert William Farr, and my date of birth was the 9th of the 6th, 34.
You were born?
3 doors from where I live now, in what was number 4 Castle Road.
And your parents' names?
There's Doris Lavinia Farr and William Farr.
Any brothers and sisters?
No.
You were an only child?
Yes.
Like to tell me about your mother.
My mother came from London, a Cockney, came down here to go into service with Mrs. Martin and Colonel Martin of Red Hill House. She married at Beddington to my father, who's a local man, William Farr. My mother's maiden name was Doris Lavinia Pierce.
And what was your father's job?
He was a baker.
In the village?
Yes, for Royal's Bakery.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yes. And did he do that all his life?
No. No, he had a variety of jobs.
Yeah.
A lot of villagers had a variety of jobs. He worked for Masons, the coal merchants, during the war, and had spells in the brickyard. He was the relief digger driver, but most local men had spells in the brickyard. It was a job they would go to while they were looking for something else. My earliest memory really was seeing the big diggers doing the main drainage. And I would have only been 3 when they started. I can remember going up Links Lane, my mother taking me to see them because she didn't want me to be frightened when they were working outside our house. And that's the earliest memory then.
So you had well water up to then, did you?
No, I think we had water,
yes.
But it was the sewerage,
yes.
That came here in 1937.
Yes. Oh, so you were quite early because Finchdean Road hardly got it today.
Well, a lot of Finchdean, that's their own fault because they were asked if they paid £1,000 each to have the main drainage put in, and they had a vote and declined it.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Oh, that's very interesting. So you have this memory of the diggers going.
Yes.
And were there any houses in Links Lane?
Oh yes, all
the big houses.
The big houses.
Yes.
And the gardens have been divided up now, and houses have been put in the gardens.
Yes.
But there are still quite a few large gardens up there.
And can you remember the names of any of the people who lived up Links Lane?
I'm very poor on names.
And so you were about 3, and so you started school at 5. Where did you go to school?
To St John's Church of England School, the old school.
Yes, which was where?
At the top of Red Hill.
Yes.
Before the Staunton Arms.
Yes.
Yes.
Do you remember the name of any of the teachers?
Yes, Miss Percy was the headmistress.
Yes.
Miss Baker was the junior teacher, and
yes,
she'd been there many years.
Yes.
And the and over the time, I can remember a Mrs. White and a Mr. Tutton, who
yes,
came to the school at the end of his service with the RAF during the war.
Oh, really? Yes.
And Mr. Tutton was a very, seemed like a giant to us when he came. He was so big.
Was he a full master, or did he teach special subjects?
No, he was just a general, full master.
Yes.
And of course took the boys for sport.
Yes. Did you like sport?
Oh yes.
What did you like playing? Soccer?
Yes, and cricket.
Cricket, oh yes.
Yes.
Oh.
I've played a lot of golf too in my time.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, the golf course was opposite. Did you sneak across and play?
We were allowed in the war to play in the rough. All the village boys had golf clubs in their shed,
yes, yes,
and because most of their fathers were caddies
yes,
as young
yes,
people, and we also took up caddying.
Yes.
And you could start caddying from about the age of 10.
Yes.
That's when you were just big enough to carry the bag. But they weren't the very big bags today with all the clubs.
No. And can you remember how much you were paid?
We were paid usually about 2 shillings a round.
Yes, yes.
But then after you've been caddying a little while, you soon got your man, your regular golfer.
Yeah.
And I used to caddy for Mr. Cummings, who had the Parade Hotel in Southsea. And I caddied for him until 1960, I joined the club in 59, and the arrangement was then on the Sunday morning I would caddy for him and he would retire after 9 holes, and then I would take the clubs and make his place up in the four.
Really?
Yes. They had a little society within the club called the Turflingers, and
yes,
a group of, I think it was 8 or 10, just members who formed this little society. And we used to go caddying to all the local courses every now and again with them. We went as a party. And they provided the sandwiches and the beer, and as a boy, drinking beer was something, you know.
So you went to this?
Yes, Blackmore and places like that, yes. So.
And this, you usually caddied at the weekend?
Yes, on a Sunday.
Yes.
Yes.
So that was
Sunday morning, regular. Yes.
Yes.
And when I did my national service, if I wasn't home for the weekend, my father would caddy in my place.
For the same gentleman?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Nice.
So that we didn't let him down. I went to St John's C of E school, and until two terms before I left, when all the senior pupils had to go to Emsworth C of E schools, and this was before Warblington School was built. And the headmaster at Emsworth was Mr. Brown.
And how did you travel to school?
We went by bus.
Yes.
But getting to Mr. Brown, he was one of the two fairest people I've ever met in my life. Very strict, but very fair. And I stayed there and then left in 1949 and went to work in Stansted Gardens. Although the headmaster wanted me to either go into the bank or to work for the Home and Colonial as one of the messenger boys who they built up to take over as managers. But I was set on being a gardener, and so I went to Stansted. There were 13 of us in the garden, and I feel pleased that I saw the end of how gardening was done in the Victorian times. It was still done that way in Stansted. The way we worked was very old-fashioned, but they had, you know, a good sized staff, and they could afford the time until Lord Besborough died and death duties took a lot from the estate. And at that time, because I was going to do national service within 6 months, I was one to go. And another man, Fred James, he was taken on temporary at the end of the war, and he had to go. But Mr. Tomlin, the head gardener, found me a job with Bailey's Nurseries at Petersfield, and I was there until I joined National Service.
Which service did you do?
I was Royal Hampshire Regiment. Yes. And my job in there, I went to be a paratrooper because the money was good, and I went up and fouled, and mainly fouled because the paratroop regiment was going to come all regular unit.
Yeah.
And the ones who said they didn't want to be regulars fouled, and the ones who didn't mind being a regular, they passed. But on going back to the and completing my basic training, I became CO's Batman Gardener.
Oh, really?
Because the houses, the particular house that the CO occupied,
which was where?
It was at Itchen Abbas.
Yeah.
And these houses were commandeered by the army at the beginning of the war, and they were being returned to private ownership, and the gardens all had to go back in the standard that they were taken up in, and so therefore he had to have a Batman gardener.
And did you enjoy it?
Yes.
And did you get the garden back into?
Oh yes, with a lot of help, because times we would have demob parties coming through, or people who were going, because at the time the regiment was in Germany and then later in Malaya, and we had fatigue parties that would come out and help.
And so you were at Itchen Abbas the whole time?
No, I was in the barracks.
Yes.
But I spent a lot of time at Itchen Abbas. I slept there when I was on duty.
Yes. And did you get on with the commanding officer?
Oh, yes. He went on to be the commanding officer of the Canadian School of Infantry.
Do you remember his name?
Major Warren.
Yes.
And he became commanding officer of the regiment. And his son, who I used to have to give cricket practice to, he also went on into the Hampshire Regiment, the Royal Hampshire Regiment.
So you had a very unusual national training.
I did. And they had a dog, a blue roan cocker spaniel, which was quite young, and they couldn't take it to Canada, and so I brought it home with me, and it stayed with my mother and lived to the age of 14.
Really?
Yes. But I used to walk with the sun in the evenings along the River Itchen with the dog. It was a lovely life. Yes.
In 18 months or two?
2 years. Two years.
So really you continued your gardening career?
Through then, yes.
And you were in charge, you were head gardener?
Oh, over the...
Head garden
boy? Yes.
And when you came out, what did you do?
I went as a gardener then for the Admiralty, who had... they were moving from Lee Park House down to West Lee, and I was gardening there, where again I met some interesting people, notably Commander Crabb.
Mm-hmm.
We, in the winter, we used to, or in bad days, our job was to move things about, and we moved a lot of stuff for Commander Crabb.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And he, of course, lived in the village.
Did he?
Yes.
Where did he live?
He lived down Durrance. Yes. Yes. He used to use the Staunton Arms. Yes.
Can you remember anybody else at Westleigh?
Well, no, not really. No one of any real importance, they did underwater weapons and countermeasures, and they then moved up to the Aswee up on the hill, at which time I became gardener for Mr. Hollings.
And Mr. Hollings lived where?
In Bowes
Hill.
Yeah. We had he owned a strip of land at the back of Bowes Hill, which went up to Wellsworth Lane, and Meadowlands was built on his ground.
So this was a big garden?
Yes. We had 2.5 acres. When I went there, Bill Stretton, the local farmer, used to keep his cows in this field. And then they developed the field, and I worked for Mr. Hollings until his death, and then went on for his widow, and then the top part of the garden was then became part of Meadowlands, this little estate. And I worked for her full-time for 2 years, and then part-time for a number of years, having to do 306 hours because I lived in a tied cottage, you see.
Where was that?
Where we are now, 1 Castle Road. Mr. Hollings bought that house for us to live there.
Yes.
And so, I, you know, to stay in the house, and I carried on working in my spare time. And I went then to work in a little factory, SBQR, which was opposite where I live, which made the tappet adjuster, a valve lapping tool, and a tracking device as well. We used to export all over the world. We even exported to Japan, quite a lot of stuff to Japan.
And so you did, you worked very long days then, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
You had two jobs, really.
I did, yes.
Yes.
And this went on until 1983, when, with the bosses getting on, they decided to sort of close the factory.
Yeah.
The factory is still there, the little workshop is still there, but the grain was sold off and there's four houses on it now. And so when 1983 I became self-employed, and I've been self-employed ever since.
Tell me a little bit more about SBQR.
When I joined, there would have been about 12 employees.
Mm-hmm.
But when the three-day week came, several of them left, and they were never replaced. And we continued, we then put some of the manufacturing out to contract and only assembled.
Yeah.
But we supplied customers in New Zealand, Australia, Japan, Denmark and France were another big.
And who were the owners of
this? Mr. Sturges was the designer and, shall we say, the brains.
Yes.
And a Mr. Tompkins.
Yes.
Who had a big sort of manor house at Goley Manor, it was called, and it was Tilstead, I think. Is it Tilstead? I can't quite remember the name now, but he is still alive and he phones us every Christmas to see how we're getting on.
Oh, yes.
And we did meet up 3 years ago when Mr. Sturges' funeral.
Yes.
But we keep getting threatened with a reunion, but we don't seem to get one. But everyone's got their lives, haven't they?
Yes,
and it's
a job. Would be nice.
It would, yes.
It would be very nice.
Yes.
Now, somewhere along the lines, you must have got married. When did you get married?
In 1956.
56. And who did you marry?
Sheila Elizabeth Emily Newton, who was a Havant girl.
How did you meet her?
On my way down from cricket at Stansted on a Sunday afternoon, she was walking with her cousin along by Old Idsworth. We'd taken quite a detour to come round that way, and just happened to meet her and her cousin, and we got, and this would have been in 1950,
yeah,
and we got married in 1956.
And did she have a job at that time?
Yes, she worked for the Home and Colonial.
Oh, in Ensworth?
In Havant.
In Havant, yes.
After, when I started working for the Admiralty, she moved to work in the canteen at Wesley.
Yes, And did you get married in Havant Church, place?
No, we were married in St. John's. Rowlands.
Yes.
Because at that time everyone got married at the end of March because of the tax relief, and churches were really full, and so her church the Congregational Church in Haven couldn't fit us in, so we got married at St. John's.
Yeah.
And we had our reception in the Red Cross Hut in Haven, and we got all the guests down there. We had a double-decker bus. It cost £2.50 from, well, £2.10 in those days from the South Down. And we ferried all the guests down in that. And we had all the flowers from Mr. Waghorn, who had a nursery at Westbourne. And we had five bridesmaids and bridal brocade as well, so, and also buttonholes for the men and for the ladies, and that was for £3.10. Yes.
And did you have any children?
Four.
Four. Tell me their names.
Lawrence.
Yes.
And then Rosemary.
Yes.
Pauline.
Yes.
And Linda.
And can you tell me what they do now?
Well, Lawrence is self-employed gardener in the village, and well, and locally. Rosemary's married to Robert Brown, who's the professional golfer, and so she helps him with his business.
Where is that?
He's got a small course at Denmead,
yes,
and a small course at Hayling, and a driving range.
Yes, yes.
And then Pauline works for Martin Stills, and she does the prescriptions on the spectacles.
Yes, mm-hmm. In Peterfield?
No, in Emsworth. And Linda was working as a girl in Woolworths in Haven, and then when it was going to close, we were at that time working for landscaping for a company called Nortec down on the airport estate, and I asked if there was a job going, and she went down there to work, and she's still there, and it's changed names several times, but she goes all over the world with the business. So is it from a Woolworths girl?
Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. I was indoor boy. There were four in the greenhouses, and then there were those employed in the pleasure grounds, and there were those, the kitchen garden and the kitchen garden boy, and I wish I'd have listened to the kitchen gardener. He used to offer Mr. Bushrod, he used to offer me lots of advice about growing vegetables. And I thought, well, that's not my job, I don't want to know. But I wish I'd have listened a lot more to him. Because in later years, of course, I did a lot of showing in local shows. And also at Guildford, and a few times at the Royal Horticultural Society shows in London, in the autumn vegetable shows.
Oh, so you specialised in vegetables?
Yeah, and sweet peas and chrysanthemums.
Oh, yes.
Working for Mr. Hollings, and then after he died, growing from home, I won the Portsmouth Guildhall Cup 14 years running.
Really?
Yes. I don't like having to say this. It sounds as though you're showing off or bragging. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, that's and you used to show at the Royal Horticultural Show?
Yes, only a few bits. I used to go up on the train with the bits and pieces.
Very
yes.
early?
Yes. Only ever won 2 first prizes, but I did at least.
And what were they for, sweet peas?
No, these were... I had one very good pair of marrows which could have taken a prize if there had been 1,000. They were entries because they were perfect. And that was very good. And I also won with the 6 plates of potatoes, where you put 6 different varieties of potatoes on 6 plates.
That requires a lot of potatoes.
It does, yes. But,
goodness.
Yes.
And have you got trophies now still?
Only medals, because most of the cups you win are returned. Yes.
And even yes. the one you retained for 14 years?
Yes. The only one I got was the Rowlands Castle Sweet Pea Cup, which we won 3 years running, and that become our own.
Lovely.
And so...
You enjoyed showing?
Yes, I met some wonderful people at showing.
Really?
The better the gardener, the nicer the man.
Interesting.
There wasn't any of this nastiness.
No.
And I met some very, very good gardeners, especially from out in West Sussex.
Oh, really?
Bert Dalves, he worked for the Sainsbury's.
Yes.
And there was Randall, who worked for the Gestetners, and they specialised in fruit mainly, and there was a chap by the name of White who worked for the Baxendales from Chichester. They're all good people, gave you a lot of advice, would give you seeds and things and plants to bring on, you know, and
there was no jealousy,
no
cheating, you know.
No, and if you went to their garden to see it and you were offered something out of that garden, you could be sure they would always pull the best one to give you.
That's wonderful.
Yes, they would go. If they gave you a cauliflower or something like that, it was always the best one that was there, which was nice.
And what is the secret of growing the perfect marrow?
Well, variety, really. And you don't want big marrows.
No.
There is a very good variety called Table Dainty. And it is only grows, well, it will grow bigger, but about 1 foot in length, and most probably nearly 1 foot round. But they're so tender, you can see that they're tender without putting your nail into them to sort of.
And can you still buy that
now? Oh yes, I'm still growing it. I'm still growing it at home now.
Really?
Yes, it runs everywhere, but it's a lovely marrow.
And you save the seed. Yeah.
I have done, but I usually buy fresh each time. Yes. Yes.
And you work for people all over the village?
Oh yes, no, I'm being self-employed, yes.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And your day starts at what sort of time?
Well, in the summer I've got a contract to keep the golf club round the clubhouse. The car park and areas, the hedges and the flower borders and that.
Yeah.
And I start over there before 6 in the morning. But then I go home just before 7:15,
yeah.
And then I have my breakfast before I set on my, what I call my proper jobs. And we work for, well, all kinds of people, you know.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Lord Besborough used to come down into the garden and he would find me and he'd want to talk cricket. And he, with his walking stick, he would show me how different strokes were played, and he formed a Stansted boys team, and we've played matches on the cricket pitch up there in the evenings, and we were all, and also at weekends we occasionally had a game, and he laid on the tees, and at the end we were sent home with a little parcel of sweets, an apple and an orange, because sweets were on ration, you see, and I can always remember one team came from Portsmouth, from Salt and Social, and these boys had never ever seen anything like this. It was rather like the Battersea boys in the war. It was a complete change of life for them.
Yes. That. Mm. Yes. Just being in the country.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And but he was really good to us.
Yes.
I mean, we could only get 9 boys from the estate, so we used to have to bring in 2 from outside. Naturally, we always brought 2 good players in. But,
9 was quite a number.
It was, yes. Yeah. That's with boys who lived on the estate.
Yes.
The butler's boy.
Yes.
And there was also in the garden, there was we had our own horse, you see, and we had the chap who looked after it, a carter, Mr. Hussey, he had a grandson who used to play, and then another chap who worked in the pleasure grounds by the name of Chase, he had a son that played, and between us, between everything, we managed 9. And
yes.
But Lord Besborough used to take great interest in it, and when he was there, he would watch, you see, and that's why he would come down and tell me why how I got out. And of course, I had to go by my second name in Stansted. He called everyone by their Christian name, but because we had one William, I had one Robert.
Yes.
We couldn't have 2 Roberts, so I had to be William.
Yes. And,
yes.
And the horse was used for mowing?
No, that was used for, well, picking up the mowings because they were left in heaps, and also taking things to market. They used to go down to Kings of Emsworth, and
yes,
they would transport it up to Covent Garden.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And so some of the produce went as far as Covent Garden?
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh,
and but it was sent through Kings of Emsworth.
Yes. So it was a very productive garden.
Oh, yes. And when
was on the soft fruit.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. Figs. I acquired quite a taste for figs, because one of my jobs as indoor boy was to hold this big fruit tray, which was all padded with cotton wool and a lining of tissue paper over the top. And the chap who was in charge of that range of greenhouses would be up the ladder picking the figs. And when we came to a ripe one, or overripe one, they were the ones we ate. And I love figs, only because of being brought up on them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What other crops is in your book?
Oh, grapes. They had marvellous grapes. And also
canned ones?
Yes, yes. And also we had one long greenhouse, what they called the orchard house, which was all peaches and nectarines. And in the spring, the back wall of this greenhouse was always painted pale blue, so that when the peaches were just coming into leaf and into flower, you had the pink flower and the green shoot against this lovely pale blue background. Yes.
So you know a great deal about growing greenhouse fruit.
Oh yes.
Mm. Yes. You have a greenhouse now.
Yes, it's falling down now. No, I don't look after it. I don't have the time. No. When I come home, all I want really to do is go up and sit in the garden with a glass of wine. And we had such a marvellous summer last year that we did this very regularly.
Yes. Right.
Mr. Tomlin was the head gardener at Stansted. And each morning he would go up to the house with the flowers for flower arrangement and one carnation for Lord Bessborough for his buttonhole. And other than that, his job was really office work and organising work. And he used to prune one apple tree, and we had what we called the centre path. He would prune that one apple tree, and he would pick the apples on that one tree.
What sort of apple was it for you?
It was a Laxton's.
Laxton's
Epicure, I believe. Yes. It was a Laxton's Epicure, I think. And that really was his sort of job. But the main work really was done by Mr. Crockford, who was the indoor foreman, who was a very good gardener. He could produce these big Japanese chrysanthemums which would not fit in a 2-gallon bucket. They were that big. Yes, we sort of tried them. And and wonderful cyclamen he produced, and of course he dealt mainly with the grapes as well, which is quite a time consuming job. When you had the thinning of them, you have to be so careful. But underneath the grapevines we used to grow mustard cress in the winter, and we used to have bamboo sticks with two razor blades inset in them, and we used to cut and put them into punnets. And this mustard, because you grow cress a few days earlier than the mustard, and you had a rotation of beds, and it was a nice warm job in the winter to be in there. Cutting mustard and cress, so they utilised
them. Was this for the house?
No, this went to market, because we used to almost probably 200 punnets of mustard and cress at a time. Yes.
Good idea, though. It was dual use of the breed.
That's, yes.
Mm. Yes.
These stems had 26 blooms on. But 5 shillings was a fortune in those days.
Yes.
And of course that used to go to market. But another thing I must say about Lord Bessborough was that we always had a harvest supper. And we used to go into the chapel and have a little service. Then we all used to get on the horse, Dolly her name was, and the cart at the back was all arranged with seating, and used to journey up and down to the farm, the home farm, and we went in the barn there and we had a meal, and we were entertained by variety artists.
And did wives go?
Oh yes. And then you just had drinks then until most probably everyone went home by 12 o'clock, which was quite late in those days. I mean, nowadays 12 o'clock, people come to life now, but in those days 12 o'clock was quite late.
People were up early.
Yes.
Yes.
And then that was about the only, that was always on a Friday evening.
In September, October?
Usually towards the end of September. And the following Saturday was one day when you were allowed to be a little bit late.
Because you worked Saturdays?
Oh yes, we worked a 47-hour week up there.
Mm.
Yes. Yes. My memories of D-Day started most probably in March, when all the roads were had yellow lines and a number in the corner of each oblong, and this was for the vehicles to come into. And we woke up one morning to find all these parking spaces taken, and they started with the lighter trucks, like half trucks, and then gradually they would move on and heavier vehicles came in, and ending up with matadors. These are big army lorries that carried these big guns, and they broke all the pavements up at